This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for being with us for Talk Louisiana, Friday Politics on WRKF in Baton Rouge and WWNO in New Orleans. Robin Dow is producing, and the show originates from the Investar Tower in Baton Rouge. Your number is 877-217-5757, 877-217-5757. Emails are sent to talk@talklouisiana.org. And this is a time in which we seek your support. We only do this a few times a year, and it is a membership drive going on as we speak at WRKF. And if you're so inclined and you're supportive of the two preeminent stations in Louisiana as far as public radio, two of the best stations in America, WWNO and WRKF, you can go to WWNO.org or WRKF.org and show your support for public radio like no other programming that you'll hear on the dial in this area. And your support is essential to the well-being of both stations. We start with Lieutenant Governor William Harold Billy Nungesser, who touts Louisiana as a place to be. And right now, about 150,000 of his closest friends have converged in the New Orleans area. The hotel rooms are full, so you can see in Baton Rouge by looking at parking lots that the hotels here are full, and they're full for Taylor Swift. Three shows, 83,000 seats are in the Superdome for concerts, and all three shows the next three nights are sold out, and the hotel rooms are full, packed, and New Orleans is at a stage kind of like Mardi Gras. And Billy Nungesser, I know you're, as Hubert Humphrey would say, pleased as punch.
It's unbelievable the draw that this concert brings to from people from all over that fly in, drive in to see this show. But it's surely good boost for the local economy and stretching way out. The hotels on the North Shore are full. So at Baton Rouge, you just mentioned, it's widespread, and it's a great lead up to the Super Bowl because it's got a great economic impact on the state.
Well, Taylor Allison Swift is 34 years old and right in her prime, and it is a majestic moment for New Orleans. And as of October 6th, which was, as we know, 19 days ago, more than 97% of the hotel rooms were already booked up for this weekend. So that is compared to 68% a year ago. So she's good for business, isn't she?
She really is. And, you know, the fact that they extended it another night, that there was that much interest, not only in local, but people coming to New Orleans to attend the concert. So I know several people that have come in town that are extending the stay a couple days. So that means you'll be out eating, spending money, and a great boost for the local economy. And, we can use a lot more of these events in the Superdome.
Well, we are in the midst of some other things of importance. And next week comes the annual book festival. I think the 20th time it's appeared in Baton Rouge. And I know you have touted that as something that is important to preserve.
It really is. You know, we've been able to grow. Our library people have done a great job to make it more than just a book sign and turn it into another festival. It's there's a food tent where the authors of the food books do cooking demonstrations. There's things for the kids. We're real excited that Steve Gleason will be here with his book. But just a great opportunity for people to meet and interact with all these great Louisiana authors and see some of the great books that come out of Louisiana telling great stories about our state.
Well, Louisiana's produced a number of outstanding writers, and many of them will be in the Capitol area next weekend. And we expect a huge crowd, as is customary. And it's really at the state capitol. It's a perfect place to hold this event, Governor.
It really is. We block off the street. There's a stage. I think last year we had a little over 21,000 people come out and attend, and people come from near and far. So it's a great opportunity. You know, it's good for the local economy, but it's so good for our writers to interact with the public that have an interest in any field, whether it's politics, history, the environment, There's something for everyone here, young and old, that has an interest in any topic. You'll find it here at the Book Fest.
And we'll talk a bit more about it next week, but we are 11 days away from an election, and it's not only an election for president, but for all other ballot measures, and there are plenty in different parts of the state and some statewide interest in the new congressional makeup. And Lieutenant Governor Billy Nungesser, you're a political junkie. You grew up in a household where the guy who started the Republican Party, at least the modern Republican Party, your dad, would be very proud of what's happened to the GOP. But for whatever reason, I was checking the numbers and mentioned them yesterday. Last time around, Donald Trump won in a landslide in Louisiana, and he received 1.2 million votes, and Joe Biden got 856,000. So collectively, they got over 2 million, and only about a million people voted in the governor's election last year, and Jeff Landry won with 547,000 votes. How do you explain this phenomenon?
Yeah, I think in the last governor's race, a lot of people thought it was over before the race happened. They just, none of the other Republican candidates really caught on, didn't have the money that Jeff had. So the dominance coming out of the gate, I think a lot of people, and you know, I've been a big supporter of open primary because I think other than the presidential being on the ballot, you know, Steve Scalise is overwhelming to get reelected. Most of the congressional race is already decided. So had it not been for a presidential election, that's why in the off years you see such low turnout as well. It's whenever you've got a heavy favored, a lot of people that are for them don't go vote because they figure they're going to win anyway. And the people against it don't see the need to go out. So I think the competitive races always bring out more people. And I think we're seeing that in the presidential race across the country is they're having record numbers of early voting because the race is so close.
Well, this race may largely be about personality. And if you want to bite on that, you can. Obviously, either Donald Trump or Kamala Harris will be the next president. But what are the major issues if you had to choose it? Do you think the economy is the issue this time, or have other matters taken precedent?
Well, I think the economy, the border security is so important. But it gets clouded up with all of the rhetoric back and forth, and those sound bites make the news, not the real issues or the differences between candidates. And I think that's where the people in the middle, the undecided that are going to go out and decide this election in many of the key states, don't really absorb what's at stake, whether it's the border, the economy, taxes, foreign wars. Those issues never really get worked out to the full public because of the cheap shots back and forth of rhetoric that has nothing to do with governing or running the country.
Well, it's going to be a heavy turnout for the presidential election, and that's a good thing. In Louisiana, it is almost a certainty that Donald Trump will win, but nationally it is a close race, and we shall see what happens. But are you concerned? You've been a politician who has preached unity. Are you concerned that this will divide our country no matter what the outcome is?
Well, I'm concerned about that, and I said early on that I was concerned. I'm a diehard Republican, but I believe in open primary where everybody has a voice in every election. But I'm concerned that if this would go House, Senate, all Democrat, that this would be a shift in the country that would not be good. So I'm hoping if the Republicans would lose the presidency, the House and the Senate could stay Republican. But I'm fearful. I'm really worried about the hate turnout in this election. We saw it in the midterms when the Republicans were supposed to gain so many House seats and lost so many. And looking after the election, why did people go out and vote the way they did? And there was just so much hate in that election that dominated the turnout. And I'm concerned about that.
Gaston in Broadmoor, Baton Rouge. Gaston, you're on with Lieutenant Governor Billy Nungesser.
Good morning, gentlemen. Thank you for taking my call. Governor,
one of the real issues that you failed to mention is the trying to overthrow the Capitol on January 6, 2021. And how many felons do you have working in your...
All right. Well, what about Donald Trump's legal issues and the insurrection of January 6th? Are those issues that are on the back burner or front burner, Lieutenant Governor?
Well, I think they're going to drive a lot of people to the polls that feel that he's guilty. You know, I don't have all the data. Horrible thing that happened that day. You know, there's still the case in Georgia about the influence of that election. The lieutenant governor that decided not to run for reelection there is a friend of mine that decided not to run because he spoke out against the influence of trying to get votes there. But
tell you what, we're going to take an 89.3 second break, and we'll return with Lieutenant Governor Billy Nungesser. This is Jim Inkster. You're listening to Talk Louisiana. A few more minutes with Lieutenant Governor William Harold Billy Nungesser, and then it's Richard Nelson, the Secretary of Revenue, who is touting a tax plan that could be a sweeping change in the way citizens pay taxes in our state. It'll go to a vote of the legislature and then presumably to a vote of the people, and all this within the next few months. And I do want to thank the people who have given to both stations today, WRKF and WWNO, and B. Cole and Barbara Clark at WRKF. Tell me Ken Burke has contributed. Thank you, Ken. Christine Griffith, Gloria Nye, Andy O'Brien. Thank you, Andy. Jenny Peters. Thank you, Jenny. Robert Piedrahita, Michael Rourke, Corliss Washington, Rosemary Mack of Prairieville, as well as Amy Babin of Prairieville, Isaiah Berry of Zachary, and Brian and Nola Brennan of Ponchatoula. And we'll get to some listeners from New Orleans in just a bit. But let's take Robin, try to get two more people in, and unfortunately won't be able to get to all of you today for Governor Nungesser, Lieutenant Governor Nungesser, but he'll be back next month. Please be brief. James and Harvey, you're on Talk Louisiana. James, good morning,
Governor,
sir.
Could you give your best request for people to go out and vote, even though you've already made the statement that a lot of people may have the apathy because they have an idea who's winning?
All right. I think people are going to vote this time. He was talking about the apathy, and something was going on in the last governor's election, but we're not going to have that problem this time. But I think everybody should vote, Lieutenant Governor.
Absolutely. Yeah. When I ran, I had 50,000 cups printed. I threw off a peanut in every parade, and I put on that cup, honor our veterans by voting. If for no other reason, for those men and women that gave their life and sacrificed and still sacrifice defending this country, we owe it to them to always cast a vote. No matter who you vote for, it's something we take for granted too often, that many countries would love to have that right.
All right, James and Harvey, thank you. Tim and Thibodeau. Hi, Tim. You're on with...
Thanks very much. Governor Nungesser, I'm a Democrat, but I'm thoroughly behind you on your current effort to clean up Louisiana. I've heard the campaign ads, and I know the work you've done with the Rose Bowl and also with Macy's and everything else. So I just want to tell you congratulations, and I hope you get it done.
All right. What about litter and dirty streets?
Thank you, Tim. We just finished our summit here in Baton Rouge, the largest crowd ever. And I got to tell you, DOTD, Wildlife Fishery, DEQ, the governor's extended our task force, and the heads of these departments are all so engaged and leaning forward. The state police, the sheriffs, we have 8 sheriffs now that we got them grants for vans. They're cleaning up the highway. When we moved this under my office, Jim, we had about 50 groups clean up during Love the Boot Week. The last 2 years, for the first time ever, we had over 750 groups in all 64 parishes clean up during Love the Boot Week. We have a lot of work still to do, but I was so encouraged by this litter summit, the hundreds of people that came to Baton Rouge that are working daily to clean up our state, and we're going to keep our foot on the gas until we have a clean Louisiana.
All right, and as we segue to Secretary Nelson, a couple less messages, more than a few, but here's one that Robin has directed me to from Nate Bork. He says, are you in favor of the film tax credit? And he also wants Secretary Nelson to answer this as well. But do you think it's worth the investment?
I did a, the year we got rid of it, I did a study, and it showed that 9% of everyone that comes to Louisiana is heavily influenced by a TV show or movie. That's over $1 billion of economic impact besides the filming and everything else. So I absolutely support it. And, you know, I proposed to the governor and gave to the legislature the quail tax, which Treen proposed. It's a fee on processed fuels. Today with LNG, it'd probably be somewhere close to $100 billion. And that is just a user fee because 90% of everything produced leaves the state. And we could do like Alaska and give the Louisianans a rebate check for that small increase. Scalise keeps saying we're going to get more offshore revenue. The federal government's never given it to us. Let's take a user fee for using our bridges, roads, and the air and the water. And it would fix Louisiana forever, and we wouldn't have to cut nothing. We could pay our teachers, police, $100,000 a year, get rid of income tax. It would be one fair fee that would fix Louisiana if we can have the guts to stand up to the lobbyists.
All right. And finally, Holly in Baton Rouge in the Garden District asks if you'll be going to the Taylor Swift concert. You're going to be there, Governor?
No, I can't afford the tickets. Not a shot.
Well, thank you. I would imagine you could get in, but Billy Nungesser would never break line. He would never pull rank and say, hey, I'm the lieutenant governor, let me in. So thanks for playing by the rules, and we'll talk again next month. Appreciate you.
Thank you, my friend. Take
care. Okay. Richard Nelson, who lives not too far away. You're still commuting, right, from Mandeville to Baton Rouge every day?
I do. I get to enjoy that that Baton Rouge traffic in Denham Springs to the Capitol every day.
Well, the Secretary of Revenue is in the House, and the number to reach him is 877-217-5757. So you came from Mandeville to Baton Rouge. Little Birdie told me that you're on the list to go tonight. Is that right? You're going to see Taylor Swift tonight?
Yes.
You and the missus?
I'm supposed to go to the Taylor Swift concert, yes.
Don't get too excited now.
Oh, I'm so excited.
But you're of the same age. You were born, I know, on Cher's 40th birthday, and she was born in 1946. You were born in 86. So that would make you, if I'm doing my math correct, 38 years old, right?
That's
and
correct.
And she's 34. What is it about her that you think attracts this kind of worship, adoration from her fans?
You know, it's funny. I listened to an economist podcast where they broke down kind of the mystery of Taylor Swift, and I think she's just done a very good job of marketing and engaging with fans, and I think kind of continuously reinventing herself. And I mean, look how many tickets she sells. I guess probably more than my tax reform talks, I think.
All right. Well, today headline in the Advocate and Picayune: Landry's tax plan raises concerns. Local governments seek reassurance before session. What's going on here?
Sure. So we have a pretty comprehensive tax plan. I think it's probably the most comprehensive legislation that's maybe ever been proposed in Louisiana, maybe outside the constitutional rewrite in 1974. But so it's pretty expansive. I think local governments will be impacted, and we're looking mainly on to cut everybody's income tax, to reduce the income tax rate for everybody so everybody keeps more money in their paychecks. Part of that is some changes to the sales tax, and those changes will impact the local governments, and I think that's what they want more information of. We sent around basically our estimates based on how much money we look at making from getting rid of some exemptions, doing some changes on the sales tax piece, and we've sent that to local governments yesterday or 2 days ago, and I think they're still digesting that, and they just want to make sure that they're not going to lose a lot of revenue from these tax changes that are done to make the state more competitive, to keep our best and brightest kids here, to reverse these population, declines that we've been seeing for the last decade or so. So it is a significant change. I mean, I think everybody gets a little skittish when you're making big changes. But at the end of the day, this is really to fix these generational problems we've seen in the state of, out-migration, businesses leaving, and just our inability to compete with our neighboring states.
Let's get Patricia in Baton Rouge on the line before we go to the break. Patricia, you're on with Secretary Nelson. Hi, Patricia.
Good morning, Nelson. So scientists at LSU bring in millions of dollars of outside money that usually covers most or all of their salary. But some of these top scientists are being cherry-picked by other universities because of LSU's continuous underfunding. So I was wondering what your tax plan is going to do for funding.
All right. Fair question.
Yeah, that's a great question. So one of the major pieces of the plan that, you know, is not directly related to taxes, but it is incorporating the Constitution, is that we're going to take $2 billion that's currently tied up in the trust funds, and we're going to use that to pay down the teacher's retirement debt. Well, those professors at LSU, they participate in that teacher's retirement debt, or in the teacher's retirement system. And so when you make that payment on the debt, it's going to save universities about $80 million a year in these contributions that they would have had to make to pay off this old teacher debt. And so it is a very, I would say, wise investment move, because we're going to save almost $1 billion in interest in making this payment. And the result of that is that the universities would have more money available, and also it'd be easier and cheaper for them to give the professors a raise.
877-217-5757. More with Secretary Richard Nelson on Talk Louisiana on Friday Politics after this timeout. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana, and thanks for your support for public radio in Baton Rouge and New Orleans. And you can go to WWNO.org or WRKF.org. Some more contributors from other parts of the world. Ponchatoula, Tara Pelche contributing to WRKF, and Barry McCree listening in Notre Dame, Indiana. And for WWNO, these are over the last few days, but Alan Bandy, Beth Chauvin of New Orleans, Connor Diaz, Bennett Price, Michael Baranowski, Nicole Braska, Owen Weber, Edgardo Hernandez in Metairie, Edgardo Hernandez Flores, Patricia Lane in Metairie, David Rodrigue Metairie, Kimberly Singley in Slidell, David High Street in Kenner, Henry Etheridge in Covington, Barry and Patricia Blumenthal in Mandeville, and Melissa Garcia in Luling. So thank you for your support. And again, it is essential. Without you, there is no public radio as we know it. Richard Nelson, he's a sharp guy. He graduated first in his class in 2007 at LSU in biological engineering, and then from the Paul M. Hebert Law Center at LSU in 2010 as the number 9 person in his class. And after law school, he joined the U.S. Foreign Service as a security engineering officer and diplomat, served in Frankfurt as well as Georgia, which is
the Republic, Soviet Republic of Georgia.
And Washington, D.C., leading projects in Afghanistan, Pakistan, Iraq, and Libya. And he is the son of an IRS agent. So he he knows about taxes. Billy Nungesser grew up on politics. You grew up on taxes, right?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if that's a distinction that most people would love.
But the IRS is important. We generally don't like it when they're knocking on our door, but obviously tax compliance, and that's one of the complaints, is that people at higher levels have ways to shield income from taxes that others don't. What is your plan and Governor Landry's plan do to address this on a state level?
Sure. So I think one of the fundamental problems with the Louisiana, Louisiana political system in general, but especially the tax code, is what's riddled with these special exemptions and tax breaks and credits and incentives. And as a result of that, we have very high rates. For example, the corporate income tax rate is one of the highest, and it's the highest in the South. You know, it's higher than the state of New York. So it's I think tough to get companies to move to Louisiana when you say, hey, by the way, we have the highest rate in the South. You can go to literally any other state in the South and you get a better deal. And the truth is, though, that if you clip all the coupons and you get your incentive, you hire your lobbyist, you get your special carve out, then you end up paying a lower rate. But most big companies don't want to deal with that. They want the certainty of having a low rate that's fair. And so really the idea of this whole plan is to have taxes that are simple, low, and fair. And that's something that doesn't really exist in Louisiana right now, and that's where we're going to move to. And I think that, you know, when you look at the growth around the country where people are moving, well, they're going to states like Texas with no income tax, or Florida or Tennessee. And so that simple, low, and fair is what attracts business, what attracts people, and that's what we're trying to bring here to Louisiana.
Now, the plan that you touted when you were running for governor was to have no income tax at the state level. This would include an income tax, but a much lower one, right?
Yeah. So what we would do is drop the top rate from 4.25% down to 3%, and then also raise the standard deduction. So currently it's the standard deduction is $4,500, and we're going to raise that to 12.5, which means that you'd have to make over $12,500 before you start paying any income tax at all. So it's a pretty substantial change, both on the lower end of the income spectrum and, you know, for everybody else. Basically, every citizen of the state would get an income tax cut.
Some of these think tanks have said the ideas have merit, but we can't have a shortfall. And there are some who believe that a shortfall under this would be inevitable. The governor today in an op-ed piece says there would be no shortfall. Who's right?
So there will be a shortfall if we do nothing. So we have these automatic tax changes. Our current sales tax rate was put in place 7 years ago or so, and it's going to expire on July 1st of next year, along with the business utilities tax that was put in place at that time. We also have some automatic income tax triggers and other corporate triggers that will get hit. So there will be guaranteed shortfall that comes if we do nothing. So this isn't standing on the line and saying, hey, let's just, you know, stick our heads in the sand and hope things get better, because that's not going to happen. You have to make a choice. It's going to be, do we pass a comprehensive plan that's going to, you know, solve both our fiscal problems as well as these long-term competitiveness problems? Or are we just going to make tax cuts or, you know, have these automatic cuts go into place and, you know, basically have to go and you know, cut universities or teacher pay, funding for infrastructure, all these things people care about and need.
877-217-5757 is your number. And a listener, Tracy at the Capitol in Baton Rouge, asked about Lieutenant Governor Nungesser. He's touting something Dave Treen did and Foster Campbell has for years, this oil processing tax. Is that something that is palatable? And even if it is palatable, can you get it through the legislature?
I know I've talked to Lieutenant Governor about this a couple times. I mean, I think at the end of the day, if there's no way to fix Louisiana's tax problems by getting somebody else to pay for them all. I mean, that's, I think, the kind of the game that we've been playing for a long time is trying to figure out how, you know, how we can get somebody else to pay for our, you know, pay for the tax code. The truth is everybody's got to pay. And I think, you know, whether you're a big chemical company or, you know, individual, I think everybody needs to pay, you know, their fair share. That's
Have they paid their fair share though?
Well, I mean, I think that getting rid of all these special tax breaks and exemptions and incentives, I think is how you make sure that everybody pays their fair share, is that when everybody's in the same boat and you just have low, flat, and simple tax code, that's how you make sure that it's fair for everybody.
Well, we are the second largest energy producer in America and the second poorest state. How did we get here?
I honestly think that there is a tax code that doesn't treat everybody fairly. And so I think that it treats, honestly, different companies, even in the same industry, are treated differently. And so I think that this is a way that, you know, we can make these broad-based reforms that will, like I said, simplify it, get rid of the special interests, and really make it so that everybody's competitive. And I think it doesn't matter what industry you're in. I think that treatment is what everybody would rather have. You know, I'll point out one of the taxes we are raising is the tax on lobbyists. And so, you know, we're trying to make the swamp pay for itself. And I think that's a good distinction of where our mindset is of trying to build, you know, move the state from, I think, this special interests, you know, swamp that we've been in for a very long time that really hasn't served us well, to one where we have, you know, these low, flat, and simple rates.
Let's go to David in Atlanta, who's been waiting a little bit to talk with Secretary Nelson. David, we'll slide you in before we part company with Richard Nelson. Hi, David.
Thank you. Good morning, gentlemen. Mr. Nelson, I read around the time Governor Landry took office, by executive order, he reduced the oil severance tax from 12% to 8%. And furthermore, I read in the Picayune, education will be on the chopping block under Governor Landry's tax reform. Now, would you answer these questions, please? And is it true that the government of Louisiana is excellent occupied territory?
All right. What about the undue influence some believe the oil and gas industry has on politicians, by the way, of all stripes in Louisiana? Is that fair? And is politics one of the reasons why oil and gas companies have been basically taxed at very low levels and gotten lots of incentives?
So I'll just point out, we have a 12.5% severance tax rate on oil, which is the highest in North America, and it's in the statute. The governor can't change it by executive order, so that's just not accurate. I mean, we literally have the highest tax on oil in North America. So I mean, that's a problem. I would say that if the oil companies had that much influence, we wouldn't have the highest severance tax on oil.
Do
right?
we give more benefits though to oil companies for doing business in our state than other states?
I really don't think so. I mean, I think the severance tax is probably the best example of one way that we really, you know, disadvantage that. And that was goes back to, I think, Governor, the first Governor Edwards, Edwin Edwards, I think, set that rate up. So it's been around for a long time. I think on the education piece, I think the point of this tax reform is to prevent any of these drastic cuts that would have to come into out of education, especially the teacher pay raise. You know, we're going to make the teacher pay the current teacher pay raise permanent through this tax plan. So I think the best thing you can do for education is to support this tax reform that will, one, give the teachers a permanent pay raise, and then two, you know, solidify the revenue picture going forward so that we don't live paycheck to paycheck like we have for the last 20 years or so.
You've got to get it through the legislature and through the hoops with a vote of the people. Can parts of it be done without a vote of the people, or is this an all or nothing proposition?
So part of it can be done statutorily. A lot of it, you know, a lot of the rates and, you know, the exemptions and all these other things are statutory, and those can be changed. The parts that are in the Constitution are going to be, you know, doubling the standard deduction for seniors, so they actually get a larger income tax cut than the rest of the population. Making the teacher pay raise permanent and building that in, making those payments on the teacher debt so we free up that money going forward. So there's a lot of things that are in the Constitution, but there's a significant piece that is also going to be accomplished statutorily.
And the session starts soon and very soon, like the day after the election, right?
I think November 6th might be the new date.
That's the day after the election then. And Buddy Romer had an ambitious tax plan that he brought to a vote of the people a year after he was in office, and it lost narrowly, and it really affected his ability to govern moving forward. Governor Landry's putting a lot on the line. Joseph in New Orleans been waiting, so we'll be our final caller for Secretary Nelson. Joseph, you have the floor. Good morning.
Morning. I'd like to quote Nelson's former boss, Mike Pompeo. We lie, we cheat, we steal, and that's exactly what is being sold to us on this program today.
Well, why do you believe that, Joseph? Why do you believe that?
All right, because just to give one example, Global LNG, a company that is building a giant terminal in southwest Louisiana, got $3.5 billion in local and state taxes.
All right. I think he means tax exemptions. So is that what's necessary to bring these companies? And there's an example of Louisiana giving a lot of goodies. Joseph, I think, has a point that is well taken. What do you think?
Sure. So, I mean, I didn't work for Mike Pompeo, but at the end of the day, this plan is exactly what he should support if that's what he wants to get away from. And so we sunset a lot of those incentive and credit programs and all those special interest tax breaks, and we say we're just going to have, you know, lower rates for everybody so that everybody pays the same thing. I would say that getting rid of those kind of tax breaks that's, you know, pick specific industries or pick specific people, that's what we're getting away from. Just okay. low and flat for everybody.
Back after this. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. And we are 11 days away from an election. And we're spending a little bit of time with Denise Underwood. She is a sergeant major in the U.S. Army, 30 years retired from Louisiana. And she is part of a group called National Security Leaders for America. And they're on the trail making the case that the country is at a potential precipice with this election we have between Kamala Harris and Donald Trump. Why do you believe, Sergeant Major Underwood and Dr. Underwood, by the way, that this is such an important election?
Oh, well, first of all, thank you for having me. It's great to be back in my home state of Louisiana and to be able to talk about this topic with my fellow Louisianians. It is very important, this election, because our democracy, whether you want to admit it or not, is actually.
Okay, you're fading a bit, but obviously I think most people would echo what you're saying, that this is an important election, and you have been joined by many others who are involved in the U.S. Armed Forces in making the case that the choice is distinct. Why do you believe that the next presidency, whether it's Donald Trump or Kamala Harris, would be different depending on the outcome of this election?
Well, I think that I believe that the outcome would be different if Vice President Harris won as opposed to if President Trump were to regain office again. You know, the fact that President Trump and others in his orbit are allowed to say things and do things that they do is because of our freedoms. So what I know is sometimes we as Americans are granted our freedoms because we were born with them. I can't imagine having those rights or freedoms stripped away.
Well, so, the person who worked for him, General Kelly, has stated over the last few days that Trump has said that there were some good things about Hitler. Now, Trump has denied this, former President Trump, but he does appear to have an affinity for so-called strongmen, dictators like Kim Jong-un and Vladimir Putin. Some people say that's okay, might even be helpful, but do you view it as something other than okay?
Oh, I view it as being dangerous. My mom used to tell us growing up, show me your friends and I'll show you your future. So President Trump's friends are dictators. And if you look at countries like Russia, North Korea, China, the ones that you mentioned, do we want that to be our future? Do we want to take that chance? You know, if what the generals are saying and Trump's former White House staffers are saying that that President Trump is a danger to our democracy, we should believe them.
Well, Donald Trump, like Joe Biden, he was a draft dodger. Biden got out on fake asthma and Trump got out on fake bone spurs, and yet both have had the authority to send young men and women to places to fight where they presumably would not. Does that give them the moral authority to do those sorts of things?
I understand exactly what you're saying, but right now, President Biden is not on the ballot. He's served his term. He's in office. He's on his way out. Right now, what our leaders are saying, and as you mentioned earlier, that his former generals, his former staff, they're coming forward. People that worked in the White House with him are saying he poses a danger to our democracy. I say we believe them because if they are wrong, we've lost nothing. But if they're right, we stand to lose everything.
Well, and another of General Kelly's statements, and he worked hand in glove at the White House with President Trump. He says that the former president said that people who got wounded or captured or killed in a war were suckers. That's the way he thinks. They weren't winners like Donald Trump, who managed to avoid military service. Is that relevant?
It's very relevant. I mean, people that are willing to put their life on the line or put their families in the line, because your whole family serves. I mean, I served for almost 3 decades. So my children served. My husband is also a military retiree. We all served. So to have that view of what the sacrifices our families make and the sacrifices of those men and women who have died and gone before us, that should never be any words uttered from an American president. Never.
Well, Captain, Sergeant Major, Denise Underwood, and who is now Dr. Underwood, and hails from Louisiana. We appreciate your time today. I hear your passion, and hopefully for those who agree or disagree, everybody within earshot will go vote. Thank you, Dr. Underwood.
Well, I appreciate your time and you having me here, and I agree. I really hope that everyone goes out and exercises their right to vote. We can't afford to sit this one out.
All right. Yeah. Chiefs with the National Security Leaders for America and this group of men and women who were in the armed forces. They're touring America, making the case that we should vote, and they have a horse in the race. I don't know if it's as much for Kamala Harris as it is against Donald Trump, but that's where we are. And of course, this has stirred the passions, and the only good thing about it is that there will be a high turnout, including Louisiana. Thank you. And we're joined now telephonically from the archives by a remarkable lady who died this week, received a lot of national attention, Julia Hawkins. She was nicknamed Hurricane for her running prowess, and it began when she was 100 years old, and she started running the 100-yard dash and set records for her age group. A mother of four, took up the sport of running as a centurion and went on to set world records and win gold medals. I used to have dinner with her and Don and Patsy Lyle at Piccadilly on some Sunday nights, and she was an amazing force of nature well into her hundreds, and she died this week in Baton Rouge at 108 years old. And a few years ago, when she was all of 105, she was on this show and was believed to be at that time the only person alive who had attended a funeral service for Huey Pierce Long, who died in 1935, Louisiana's flamboyant governor. And here is Julia Hawkins.
Well, the part I remember is that we had an assembly at the university where all of us gathered, and they had a sort of remembering him, and they did it in a very nice way. He had just died, and everybody was very sad about that. And I remember they played a trumpet solo, and when that sad music came on, everybody was crying because he had done a lot for LSU. Everybody felt that he wanted it to be a great university. He got good teachers here, and I was one of the lucky ones that I had three wonderful teachers at LSU. I had Robert Penn Warren, who is Pulitzer Prize winner a couple of times over and wrote a book about Huey Long.
All the King's
Men. And then I also had Harris Downey, who wrote the words to the LSU alma mater. And his roommate wrote the music, and they were a couple of fraternity brothers. And anyway, he was a wonderful teacher. And then I had Alex Daspit, who taught me government, and he went on to the to Germany when the war was over on the Council for Decisions Making about the Germans, for what they did wrong, the court that they had for that.
All right. Well, Julia Hawkins, as I mentioned, is a remarkable person, but she's an athletic competitor. She has won her age division many times over, locally and nationally. There aren't many 105-and-a-half-year-old people running the 100 meters. Katie Ann McDonald, our producer, is an 800-meter person and runs it about as well as any woman in the world. But Julia Hawkins, you're going to continue your athletic pursuits this year. Post-COVID, you'll be back on the track. When's the next competition?
In November, I think the 6th. It's a Saturday at Southeastern and Hammond, and it's the state Senior Olympic competition. And the reason I'm going to this, because I usually don't go to the state ones, I just go to the national, but all of them have been called off this year because of COVID. So I thought I would go to this one and see how I do, because it's been a long time since I ran in a race. And I feel like I can do it. I still walk real far every day, and I go fast, and I try to keep agile and in good shape.
At 105 years old, she ran the 100 meters in 31 seconds. That's not bad. It's not bad, not bad for some people much younger, but she was a force of nature, and it was a credit to our community that she lived on Nelson Drive right here in Baton Rouge, and her husband lived a long life too. He lived, died in 2013, so Julia Hawkins, remembered nationally and saluted for her gallant life, and we're glad that she spent some time with us a few times here on Talk Louisiana. And as we round the corner and head for home and finish the week with you, we ask for your support. If you're in New Orleans, please go to WWNO.org or in Baton Rouge, WRKF.org, and become a member of the family. You will show your support for public radio in this area in a tangible way. And it is always a pleasure to share the microphone with the most enlightened audience in radio. Until next time, for Robin Dow, I'm Jim Inkster. Stay safe and stay tuned.